from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today in San Francisco, one of the most high-profile federal fights to restrict medical marijuana in California goes before a federal judge. The local U.S. attorney is pursuing a forfeiture case against Harborside Health Center's dispensaries in Oakland and San Jose. With more than 100,000 members, the patient collective is the nation's largest. The court will hear three motions, two from Harborside's landlords asking the judge to make the club stop selling pot, and one from the city of Oakland asking to stay those motions. Governor Jerry Brown has named Jeffrey Beard, a vocal advocate of shorter sentences and community treatment, to run the state's prison system. The retired Pennsylvania prison's chief faces state Senate confirmation first, but should they agree, he's got a busy year ahead of him, starting January 7th, when the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation has to deliver a plan for reducing prison overcrowding further, or face federal orders to release inmates early. The board of the San Joaquin Valley Air District meets today to consider a plan to reduce air pollution based on standards the EPA set 6 years ago. But federal regulators have just issued new, tighter rules raising the bar. Central Valley Bureau reporter Alice Daniel has more.
The EPA's newest standard is based on studies that link soot and other debris to poor health. California is the only state with counties not projected to meet the 2020 standard. Three of those counties are in the San Joaquin Valley.
Unfortunately, every time we meet a goal, the EPA pushes the goalpost just a little bit further back, so we have farther to go.
Spokesperson Jamie Holt says the Air District respects the standard, but will have trouble complying. The valley has challenges other areas don't.
Our topography, our meteorology, the fact that we're in this bowl, that we have an inversion layer, we're not certain that with the technology that exists that we can even meet the standard.
Pricey sanctions will be placed on the valley if it doesn't comply, and new industry will be limited. For the California Report, I'm Alice Daniel in Fresno.
As the Obama administration prepares to tackle immigration reform, one of the pillars of its current immigration policy is dividing Democrats across the country. Last year, Democratic governors in Massachusetts, Illinois, and New York pulled out of secure communities, even if Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, insists the program is not optional. Governor Jerry Brown has not come out against the program, but as the California Report's Amy Isaacson explains, much of the rest of the state would rather not comply.
Secure communities has never been very popular in California. Under the program, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, depends on local police to hold for 48 hours people that immigration agents suspect have immigration violations. That's so ICE agents have time to pick them up and, most likely, deport them. During the last few years, California lawmakers have repeatedly tried to limit the state's cooperation with secure communities. Santa Clara dropped out. Most recently, Attorney General Kamala Harris weighed in. From the rotunda at San Francisco City Hall, she announced that it's up to local police to decide how to comply.
Secure communities has not held up to what it aspired to be.
When Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, launched the program 4 years ago, officials touted it as a way to go after undocumented immigrants who'd committed serious or violent crimes. But in practice, as Assistant Attorney General Brian Nelson,
almost a third of those removed from California do not have a criminal record.
And, says the Assistant Police Chief of Los Angeles, Michael Moore, having to hand over non-criminals to ICE, along with low-level offenders like people selling fruit on the sidewalk, jaywalkers, or drivers with broken taillights, he says it's been a detriment to the community.
There has been this growing perception that we had somehow been co-opted or were now de facto agents for immigration. And that posed a weakness in this ability for people to say, if I've got a neighbor who I suspect is involved in drug sales, if I'm a victim of a crime, I can call local law enforcement, and they're not going to look at my immigration status.
These concerns prompted the Los Angeles Police Department to change its policy to stop holding low-level offenders for ICE come the new year. Similar complaints from about a dozen other law enforcement agencies prompted the Attorney General's announcement earlier this month. She bases her argument that holds are voluntary on federal case law and on the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. It says that the federal government cannot commandeer cities and states to do their job for them. Spurred on by Harris, one of the country's staunchest supporters of secure communities, Los Angeles County Sheriff Lee Baca, has changed course. He won't honor ICE hold requests for low-level offenders starting next year. San Diego's sheriff is also reevaluating his policy. For his part, Moore hopes the Los Angeles Police Department's protocol will be a model that law enforcement agencies around the state follow.
Even if all 58 counties don't identify the exact same, and they identify something that's a little more stringent or a little more lenient, nonetheless, it'll be discretion that's presently not being exercised at all. Again, it's progress.
But critics aren't content with the incremental and discretionary changes. Angela Chan is with the Asian Law Caucus.
These policies in Los Angeles and also with Kamala Harris's announcement, it clarifies things and it signals a shift in direction, but it's not going to have an impact on the ground until something more is done.
For example, Chan says the Los Angeles Police's new policy will mean they hand over only about 340 fewer people to ICE annually. That's a tiny fraction of the approximately 26,000 people deported from Los Angeles County under secure communities during the last 3.5 years. Barry Crisberg with the Earl Warren Institute at the University of California says having 58 potentially different policies around the state is a bad idea.
We're inviting justice by geography. People are not going to know what the policies are in their community. And what this translates into is people unwilling to give the police information, people unwilling to be witnesses if crimes occur.
ICE officials declined an interview and sent a written statement. It reiterates that ICE alone determines who local police should hand over to federal authorities for possible deportation. In the meantime, the third version of a bill called the Trust Act is pending in the state legislature. It would limit local law enforcement authorities to turning over only immigrants who have been convicted of serious and violent crimes. The governor vetoed the last draft because he thought it was too lenient, but he said he'd work with legislators to pass a stricter version. One thing that everyone does agree on is that all eyes in the immigration debate are watching to see what happens in California. For the California Report, I'm Amy Isaacson.
That's the California Report for Thursday, December 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.